In the name of Jesus, Amen. Dear friends in Christ, the text that we have just heard read from the book of Revelation is a great call to repentance, and it's very appropriate for this season of Advent, as one of the great seasons of the church year for repentance. We recall Martin Luther's words that the first of his 95 theses, that when our Lord Jesus Christ said repent, he meant that the believer's whole life should be one of repentance. Jesus speaks to us here, introducing himself as the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation, the one who witnessed zealously and faithfully to God's truth, making the good confession before Pontius Pilate, even unto death. The eternal and faithful Word of God, the powerful author of the whole creation. Nothing is hidden from this faithful, zealous, and powerful Lord. He knows the works of the Laodiceans. And what a contrast there is between him, the faithful, the true witness, the true martyr unto death, and these Laodiceans. And he knows them. He knows that they are neither icy cold nor boiling hot. It would have been better, he said, if you were icy cold. If you were icy cold, unregenerate heathen, there may have been a better chance of bringing you to repentance. At least then the situation would have been clear. Of course, the desirable thing would be that they were boiling hot, that they were fervent in the spirit or aglow in the spirit, Christian people devoted to their Lord. But no, they were neither one thing nor the other. They were lukewarm, like the water that came from the hot springs that flowed by the town of Laodicea, water that wasn't fit to drink. You make me sick, Jesus says, of these lukewarm Christians. We see in the church of Laodicea the sickness both of the ancient church and of many segments of the modern church. Wherever the church is rich and comfortable, as it was in Laodicea, and as it so often is today in our affluent countries in the Western world, there a great sickness is prone to set in. Laodicea was one of the wealthiest towns in the ancient world, with its great banking industry, its clothing industry that used the local glossy black wool, and its great school of medicine in the temple of Asclepius. And the Christian church there had become infected by the culture. It had become complacent and self-satisfied like everyone else in Laodicea. I am rich. I have gotten riches. I have need of nothing. Their minds were constantly full of buying, 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 and sometimes selling, laying up treasures for themselves on earth. Their Christianity was at best half-hearted. What a contrast these Christians were to the picture we have this Christmas of the Holy Family, unable to command a room in the inn, unable to afford more than a couple of birds for a thanks offering in the temple. Our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, for our sake became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. Jesus knew the real situation of these complacent Laodiceans. He knew, but they didn't know. You don't know, he says, that surrounded by all your wealth, you are in fact the most pitiful wretch, poor, blind, and naked. St. Paul had known this of himself. He had cried out, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And we Christians constantly confess that in our liturgy. We confess Sunday by Sunday that I am a poor, miserable sinner. But in the middle of wealth and material success, how easy it is for all of us to forget the real state of our hearts before God and our desperate need of our Saviour. And that brings to mind the well-known book, The Hammer of God, by Bishop Bo Geertz. And there's a person in that book who thinks that he or she can offer his heart to the Lord. And the pastor replies, "What sort of an offering is that? It's like our heart is really like a trash can on the trash heap, and the wonderful Lord passes by and puts his stick through that trash can and takes it home with him." That's our heart from God's perspective: poor, miserable, naked, and blind, and desperately in need of our wonderful Saviour. And so Jesus gives these complacent Laodiceans some advice. While others are constantly counselling them to buy this, buy that, his voice counsels them, "Buy from me. Buy the true faith that is more precious than gold. Buy that true golden faith that you will never have to return to the stores. You're never going to have to line up at the returns desk at Glenbrook or wherever it may be and say, 'This item that I bought last week is shonky, or it wasn't exactly what I wanted.' Buy from me," Jesus continues, "white clothing that's better than the glossy black local product. White clothing to cover the shame of your sins. Buy from me the precious medicine of the Holy Spirit that's far better than anything that your local medical schools can offer. And anoint your blind eyes with that miraculous treatment. Come unto me," our Lord is saying, "and you'll find gold and clothing and medicine more valuable than anything this world has to offer." Challenging words to a complacent culture. As one commentator writes, "Compromise and cultural accommodation is still the church's besetting sin. We still think that we can do the impossible, serve God and mammon at the same time." And so, because he loves us, Jesus rebukes and disciplines us. He prunes us by his word, pruning us for our healing and our greater fruitfulness. "And so be zealous," he says, "and repent. Repent of our divided hearts. Repent of your half-heartedness for the cause of his holy gospel, the cause of his holy scriptures. Don't worry what others may say about you. They may call you a zealot or a bigot or a fundamentalist. They may even say, as some of our pastors and students have encountered in CPE courses and hospital chaplaincy work, 'You Lutheran chaplains are harming people by talking to them about their sin and guilt and their need for the gospel.' Don't worry," our Lord says. "Listen to my voice, the voice of your good shepherd. And no matter what others may do to you or say about you, you will have blessed fellowship with me and with my Father, blessed fellowship through word and sacrament, the Holy Eucharist. As he says in John's Gospel, 'If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him.'" And that's expressed so beautifully in the hymn that we just sang. "Enter now my waiting heart, glorious King and Lord most holy. Dwell in me and never leave, though I am but poor and lowly. What vast riches will be mine when you are my guest divine." Dear friends, our text assures repentant Christians of the wonderful things that lie ahead for us. "To him who overcomes," he says, "to him who overcomes, I will give a place with me on my throne, just as I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. God grant it to us all. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.